I have yet to tell you what it's really about, though I'm sure you've got some good guesses, okay? I hope you all know that it's not about escaping from prison, right? That is important, and it is how the discussion begins, okay? So we do have to consider this escaping from prison thing, okay? Because escaping from prison is the kind of incident that gives rise to what is really at stake here, okay? So as Crito is trying to convince Socrates to go off with him, to leave, okay? Socrates is building a slightly different kind of argument, okay? Crito's goal is just to get Socrates to go with him, go to Thessaly or whatever, and get out of there, okay? That's what his goal is. And he's going to try everything in his considerable skill to convince Socrates to go. And Socrates says, I'm willing if you can convince me it's the right thing to do. Okay? And so it's that extra piece that makes things a little bit more complicated. All right? The issue is it takes us a while to figure out what this thing is about. I mean, let me tell you what it's not about. It is not about whether or not Socrates should escape from prison. Okay? That, whether or not he should go, ends up being a symbolic moment for a bigger idea. That bigger idea is the thesis, okay? We'll get there, all right? There's one more video, all right? Now, the other thing that students tend to get hung up on is this thing where, at the very beginning, Crito and Socrates have a discussion, and Socrates says, look, before we get talking, okay, we need to agree on some ground rules, okay? And this is standard for debates of any kind, and it's true written as it is live, okay? At least in reasonable, actual, real debates, not phony debates, okay? Where you just sort of do a shuffle, okay? Pretend it's a debate, which is what we have in our popular culture, or at least in our, you know, what passes for politics in this country, okay? So, when Socrates says, look, I'm open to being convinced, okay? However, all right, do you agree, he says to Crito, that we cannot repay a wrong with a wrong, okay? In the Old Testament, it says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? So somebody hurts you, you hurt them back in a commensurate way, in the same way that they hurt you. Okay, so it's like a revenge idea. One of the changes in the New Testament was that Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Somebody does something to you. You don't just poke, you know, they poke your eye out, you poke out their eye out, symbolically speaking, okay? You turn the other cheek, you be the bigger person. Okay, I'm just using an analogy. Jesus has nothing to do with any of this. This is about 400 years before Christianity is even a thought in anyone's mind, okay? He says to Crito, do you agree that we cannot repay a wrong for a wrong? Yes. And Crito says, yes, I agree with that. Okay, so let me pause. That is not a claim, okay? That is a precondition. It is a precondition to the argument, which means any arguments that don't fit that requirement do not get to be a part of the discussion. So think of it as a wall, right? We have a wall. Up here are all the possible arguments for having Socrates escape from prison that Crito has access to, okay? And in this wall, there's a gate, okay? And that gate will not allow anyone without the proper passport, okay? This is a very convoluted analogy, I know. Won't allow anyone without the proper passport. And the proper passport is you can't be an argument that repays harm for harm, wrong for wrong, okay? So any of the arguments that are like, well, they did it to you, so you should just do it to them, okay, doesn't get into consideration unless it never gets past the barrier. All the other ones get through the gate. Everything else stays on the outside. Does that make sense? Here's why I know that is not a claim. Because you can literally do it. You can literally do this. Crito's first claim is X, and Socrates says, no, we can't do that because we can't contradict the wrong with the wrong. Then Crito says, no, we can't repay a wrong with a wrong. Then Crito says X. Socrates says, no, you can't repay a wrong. You see what I'm saying? You're not doing anything. You're just repeating over and over the exact same thing. Okay? That's how you know it isn't a claim. Okay? A claim brings in new information. Okay, if all Socrates has got in his bag of tricks is, no, I can't do that because that would be repaying a loan, there's no discussion to be had. Okay, and this isn't a discussion about ethics. All right, the Euthyphro, the other dialogue which you have not read but you might want to go read for fun, it is an English translation as well, is an ethics discussion. It's about morality. This is not a discussion about morality. It's a discussion about something else. So this idea of you cannot repay a wrong for a wrong, yes, it's important, but no, it is not a claim. No, it is not the thesis. And no, it is not evidence. Okay? We can make use of this idea in a kind of background paragraph that I'm going to talk to you about after we discuss this. So for next class or next week. Okay? But as you are working on, in your notebook, working on the Crito, okay, you need to understand that those two things. This is not what it's about. Yes, they're both relevant. Yes, they're both important, but they are not, escaping from prison is not what this is about. And not repaying wrongs with wrongs is not what this is about. Again, remember, this is ancient Greece. So it's about 400 BCE. This is quite a bit before Christianity in the modern world. We're still talking about paganism, talking about multiple god things. That should also help clear it up too, if we're kind of in that zone. That's a different, totally different set of values. Okay, now let me show you my pro-con matrix here. Okay, so here it is. Okay, I have it broken down and into Crito's claims, and then Socrates' rebuttals. All right. As you'll notice, I've got five claims, and I've got five responses. Now, the reason why this one is in bold is because Crito never says this. There's something missing. Okay, there's something that we need to say in order to help Crito even the score. Okay, so that we really know what's at stake here. Okay, and it's claim number five that'll lead us finally to the thesis. Okay, whereas one through four, four starts already. Okay, maybe one through three is about, you know, whether or not Socrates should escape. And then four and five finally start talking about what we're really about. Okay, so, but you'll notice that I put it in bold is because if this was class discussion, we would have talked about these, I would have made you look for his responses, and then eventually I would have gotten to this. And it would have taken us a while, but I think you would have gotten it because every other class has, to figure out what Crito could say that could even the score. But we'll get there. All right. So here's my pro-con matrix. And there were some other minor arguments, like, you know, Crito says, let's get out of here. You know, I love you, you're my friend. And Socrates says, I'm 7 years old, I'm an old man, I've lived a full life, I'm not going to go on the Okay, so we're going to ignore that. And even of these five, these are the five major ones. But if we were going to write a 4-to-5-page paper, you wouldn't be able to talk about all five, all right? You would have to talk about these two. There's no way you could ever get to the thesis without these two. And then you could kind of select which two of the three you would feel like talking about. Just leave one of these out, and it would still be fine. Okay, so the first thing that Crito says, and this is in no particular order, by the way. I've read so many different translations because ancient Greek does not translate literally in any close way to modern English, so there's a lot of different versions, and I taught them all, and they're not organized all the time in the same way. So this is in no particular order, but this is an order that makes sense. So the first thing that Crito says is, look, people will say that we were cowards, that, you know, because we didn't help you, we were fair weather friends, right? That's all the stuff he says. It's like, look, everybody's waiting for me to come do exactly this. Come in, come get me, take you out of here. And when tomorrow comes and they realize you're still here, they're not going to know what we talked about. They're not going to know that it was you who said, I want to stay. And they're going to blame me and your friends. And they're going to say we were cowards. I'm going to say that we're fair weather friends, meaning we're only friends when it suits us, and then when shit gets real, you know, we're gone. Okay, and remember in the previous video I talked about ethos. Okay, the word is ethos. Okay, I'm gonna put this in parentheses here. Okay, I talked about ethos. That's what this is, right? Our reputations will be harmed. And Crito, as I said, he's not arguing, oh, it's going to hurt my feelings or people will say bad things about me. Like, this could have some pretty serious consequences for him and the friends of Socrates. I mean, look what happened to Socrates because of Alcibiades, right? Alcibiades is not Socrates' friend, okay? By the time Alcibiades has become this big charlatan and gotten involved with Sparta and become the leader of the 30 tyrants, Socrates wants nothing to do with him, okay? But his previous association with Alcibiades rubbed off on him. His ethos, Socrates' ethos, was harmed, and it was that harm that led to his execution. So this is serious business. Socrates has some refutations for him, but I don't really think this is his strongest argument. He's pretty tricky, Socrates, in a lot of places here. You really see the skill of his argumentation, but number one is not one of them. He says, well, Crito, do we care about the opinion of the many, or do we only care about the opinion of the one, the good, right, the expert? And that's not bad. So he gives you an example about an athlete, right? So, you know, to draw an analogy, if we were going to write this paper, okay, you'd say that Socrates argues that the opinion of the many doesn't matter, all right? You know, only the opinion of the right person, the good person, the expert, whatever the context is. So, and he uses an example of the athlete, right? If you're a swimmer, who do you listen to? Do you listen to Joe Schmo, right? People on the street, or do you listen to your coach? Well, that's easy. You listen to your coach, right? In this particular case, it makes perfect sense. So, in that regard, he's good, right? I think he does a good job combating what Crito is saying. But then he has to extend it because Crito is talking about a large group. He's talking about the people of Athens, the citizens of Athens. And Socrates says something rather dubious. He says, you know what? The people, and he means like large groups of people, like the people of Athens, the citizens. The people are neither good nor bad. They just are. And I have a real tough time with that because that I don't think is true. I don't know if I've ever seen a large group of people do spontaneous good, but I've seen large groups of people do spontaneous bad all the time, right? It's called mob mentality, right? When a large group of people suddenly turns violent, I think of in a minor from like soccer hooligans or when riots break out, right? You talk to those people the next day and say, what the hell were you doing? A lot of them will claim that they just kind of got caught up in it. They don't even know why. They have no idea why they were even doing it. Okay. And maybe it's bull, I don't know, but it's a real thing. It's a psychological thing. Mob mentality is what it's called. So I don't think he's right there. I think I can bring forth lots of real world examples where the many did quite a bit of that. Okay, so that second part is a little dubious, all right? So anyway, but that's the first exchange that they have. So then Crito says, all right, well, if that's not going to move you, all right, then what about your children? He says, you'll be abandoning your children. And in order to understand why this is such a powerful argument, you have to understand a few things about ancient Athens. Remember that only men could be citizens, okay? Women were not citizens. Women were property. I mean, that was true even in the United States up until like the beginning of the 20th century, so never mind in ancient Greece. So women couldn't really own property, women didn't work. So if Socrates is killed, right, there's no money coming in. So how are they gonna hold on to their home, their land, okay? He has little kids, so if he had older children, then fine, they could inherit his land, they could work the land, they could do whatever, but he's got little kids. So he has little kids and a wife. When he's killed, that's it. There's no more money coming in. And he says, Crito says rightfully, your kids are gonna end up in an orphanage, all right? And you think she's got you now, Socrates. You know, what are you going to say in order to get out of this? Because like, boy, you wanna make a case for yourself being a good man, wise man. What kind of good man, wise man abandons his children, right? Just because of his principles. And Socrates shows skill here. He says, wait a minute, Crito, you know, you say that you will help me, you will protect me, you'll give me money for this exile. We're coming, that's coming. But if I die, you're not going to help protect slash support my family. and Crito, and it's not just Crito, it's Crito and friends, right? The same people who raised money to help him escape and go somewhere else are the same people. Now he's saying, you're not going to support my children. And of course, Crito's kind of stuck. He has to say, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I will. Okay, but again, like, even if he says he will, and even if he intends to, you know, at what point does somebody else's children become not your problem? Okay, so even if he intends to do well, you know, that's quite a thing to ask of someone. Okay. So then he shifts gears and he says, look, if you're afraid of exile, we've got you, right? I've raised money, I have hookups in Thessaly, we've got you a place to stay, you and your family, right? It's not just him, he's gotta take his family with him. We can provide for your exile, you're good, okay? And he has two arguments to respond to that. Now, this one where he says, I don't wanna raise my children outside of Athens. He says, I'm an Athenian, I believe in Athens, I believe in all, and everything that Athens is, and Athens is special by comparison to other Greek city-states at the time, or to anywhere, really, okay? So the Athenians were justly proud of their philosophy, their science, their democracy, and all that stuff. Now, this argument here, the one, could also be used up here as further support. So this one kind of bridges 2 and 3. So if you said he doesn't want to raise his children outside of Athens up here in claim 2, you don't want to repeat it again in claim 3, okay? So you would have to kind of pick where you want to put that. But he also says, in response to this, he says, and I have another problem, Crito, right? You say, you've hooked me up with all of, you know, this money and these people. You say, I'm famous. Because remember, he says, look, Crito says, you're famous. You're Socrates, right? Who wouldn't want you in their home? Who wouldn't want you in their land? And he's got a point there. Okay, Socrates is famous, world famous. Socrates says, yeah, you know, at first they'll be like, ooh, and they'll be, you know, I'll be the new novelty in town and everybody will be fighting to have me, you know, in their salon, in their home, maybe even teaching their kids, right? Because Socrates, unlike some people, could, because of his fame and because of his job, he could find work teaching the children of Thessaly, teaching the children of some other place, right? He says, however, that novelty wears off. And once these people are tired of me, then they're just gonna say, why is this guy here? He's a criminal. He ran away from his country. Why would I want him in my house? Why would I want him here? And then they'll put my ass on the street, and not only will I be in trouble, but my family will be in danger as well. Okay, so this idea of him becoming a teacher could be support for Crito, or in this case, he could say, it's not gonna happen because eventually he'll turn up. And that would be up to you. All right, so those three are all arguments for why Socrates should leave. And back here, you know, Socrates saying, there are problems with those ideas. Okay, once we get to 4 and 5, things are starting to shift and we're starting to get closer to the meat of the matter. This is really powerful. What Crito says here would have ruined a lesser man. Crito would have won the argument right there. He would have walked away with the trophy and it would have been all done, okay? He says, Socrates, I'm confused. Aren't you just playing right into the hands of your enemies? Aren't you giving them exactly what they want? These people made up stuff about you, used their power illegally, abused their power to bring you to trial. Not only that, but you don't defend yourself. You sit there and you let them do it. And then they convict you. And now you're going to die, which is exactly what they want, right? I don't understand that. Isn't that going to be seen as cowardly? Isn't that exactly the wrong thing to do, to give them exactly what they want? I'm lost. Aren't you the gadfly of Athens? Aren't you the person who tells us we must question everything, that we have to be vigilant or else? How are you just turning over? How are you just letting them do this to you? And Socrates really shows his skill here. And this, number 4, will silence Crito. Right here, Plato has won, in his mind, he has won the discussion and he's able to get finally to his major point here, okay? He says, look, yes, I know what it looks like, Crito, but let me tell you why I can't do this. If I make a run for it, if I leave Athens now, he says, I'm not gonna be hurting my enemies. African, meaning the people who put him there. Because what he's saying is the people in power don't care if I'm dead or gone. That's all they wanted. That's all they wanted. And either way, they get that, right? Because either I stay here and I die, or I make a run for it and I'm gone. So no matter what, I can't win. I can't beat them. But if I leave, there's a problem. If I stay, they win. Okay, they win in this exchange here. But I don't do any damage to Athens, okay? He says, but if I leave, I won't be hurting them, but I will be breaking the law, okay? And Athens didn't wrong me. It wasn't, Athens wasn't the people of Athens. It was these people, so I can't do that. And it is that which finally leads him to number five, okay? We'll get back here. Where finally Crito now is just saying, you're right, Socrates. Yes, Socrates. You're right, Socrates. And this is what happens in every dialogue, okay? Plato says, Socrates says, I can't leave prison, because if I do, I will be setting an example for the people of Athens that it is okay to break the rules when they don't, break the laws, excuse me, when they don't sue. Okay? So finally we're bringing up the law, because the law has been kind of here the whole time. It's also not about law, but it's close, all right? He says, if I go, people will say, well, Socrates did it, so I can do it, okay? Now, where the thesis is what is the consequence of this example, okay? So you need to ask yourself right now, if Socrates slash Plato is right, and Socrates makes a run for it, and then everybody in Athens looks, because he's famous, because he's the champion of Athenian democracy. And he says, he breaks the laws, and he thinks what'll happen is everybody will look at me and they'll say, if Socrates can do it, then I can do it. What are the consequences for Athens? You can answer that, then you can answer what the thesis is, okay? Now, Plato thinks he's won the game here. And if we allow Crito to be silenced, he does win. But we're not going to let him off that easy, okay? We have an advantage over Socrates in that Socrates had seen only one democracy, his own. He's seen many, okay? We've seen how they fail, and we've seen how they work, okay? So if we got back in our time-traveling phone booth with Bill and Ted, and when we saw this discussion that never really happened, and we whispered in Crito's ear, we would say, if you allow these people to kill you, you will be setting an example. Notice the words are the same, because it ultimately comes down to what example Socrates will set one way or the other, okay? Socrates, on the Plato side, he says, I'm going to set a bad example if I make a run for it. The people of Athens will simply think, when it doesn't suit me, I don't have to follow the laws. But Crito can also say, however, if you stay, you will also be setting a negative example, okay? So they're both worried about setting some kind of negative example because of Socrates' fame, okay? You will be setting the example for the people of Athens that those in power can misuse that power to silence and kill those who don't agree with them. Okay, Crito doesn't say this in the dialogue, but he should have, and now he does. We will help him say it. We are going to say it. This is what we bring to the discussion as people in the 21st century who have watched a long spectrum of democracies come and go. Okay, so let's walk through this bolded piece here. Okay. What we're arguing, or what we're adding to the discussion, is that the people of, this was a public trial. This is a public execution. It's not private, he didn't disappear, okay? This is public. So the people in power are making a statement, a point, okay? If he is killed publicly, and he is, right? That is what happens in real life, okay? Isn't it also just as possible, just as likely, that the people in Athens will say, oh crap, I better keep my mouth shut, because if they can do that, Socrates, the man, right? Imagine what they could do to me, just Joe Schmo, Athenian citizen. Do you see the problem? Okay?
Socrates either way, because of the public nature of the trial and the execution, is going to be establishing some kind of an example. And either way, there's a potential for that example to be taken badly and for it to have consequences. All right? The consequences are the thesis. So that's when we'll finally get there. Okay? So for us, I'm going to stop short here. All right? We'll get to that. For us, this is what we're left with at the very end here. Okay? Is this the better play? Because if he leaves, people will say, I don't have to follow the laws anymore because Socrates doesn't. Or is this the better play? Because if he stays and lets these people kill him, isn't he giving them power? Isn't he showing what happens when you resist power, that they will just kill you? Is that what the champion of Athens wants to leave behind as his example? Okay? All right, so how did you do? Did you come close? Did you get some of these? Okay, I gave you some clues last lecture, and I was hoping that they would lead you at least to here. I don't expect that you had this, but if you did, congratulations, okay? So now we are one step short of figuring out what the thesis is, what this thing is really about. That'll be for the next video. So I hope you did well. I hope the Crito is starting to make more sense. And I will hit you back for the next installment of the Crito experience. Okay, bye, class. Have fun.